SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
So the tennis is continuing. We're going down in flames. We need a five-setter. Medvedev did the wise tennis vet move. Had to go to the room for some treatment, slow this thing down a little bit.
Yes, I love it. That is a veteran move. Yeah, got
to
go.
These
for
guys
a
all the time. Like, I don't know. I guess you're allowed to do it twice. It's the Nadal special. It's like, yeah, listen, I got to go to the room for a minute here. Like, got to get a little, you know, we'll be back. A quick timeout. So, I don't know. Medvedev's back out here right now. He's going down here, man. Sinner's just rolling. Must be that special cream that he's a big cheater, yeah. Sinner, huh? Got away with Sinner's it twice.
Steroids. Yep, you're right, Peter.
Cheater. He seems like a nice kid, and he didn't do it. I don't know.
It's like what Kramer said. There was the bomb. Why'd you put the bomb on? It's like bad bomb. You got
happened twice, though. You know what I'm saying? Like, so it's like,
that's the thing. Well, Gabe, if you're my tennis, say I'm your coach and you're a tennis player, you don't think I know? Like, you know what everything that goes in your body and on your body. You got to know that this compound's not on the up and up.
I'm putting it this way. He won at Indian Wells. They didn't even give him his money, and he agreed to it. So that's what I was like. If you were really innocent, how come you wouldn't say, no, where's my money? He was like, yeah, okay.
You keep
the money.
All my money. It's the cream.
Yeah, so it wasn't normal. Like, that wasn't talked about enough. Like I said, like what player can that's in a modern athlete that would, like, say, no, I didn't do this. I guess in the big picture, though, whatever. You're really going to argue over 458K or whatever it was. I think it was like 600K or something.
Him. Yeah, not him.
Right? He's got money, and he figured, all right, I don't know. The tennis world was split. The Kyrgios guy came out after him hard. He said, if I did this, I'd be suspended 2 years automatically.
He's right.
He goes, be real.
He's right.
And he would
He's
be.
Right.
And Shapovalov, the Canadian dude, we should note these two are like the biggest hotheads on the tour, but Shapo basically said the same thing. He said different rules for different people on the tour, evidently. He said, if this was me, I'd definitely get, and he goes, and there was a bunch of them, actually. There were a couple others like that came in hard. I forget which others. There's another tennis player who's very active on Twitter. He had a lot. He was bitching about it, but some others were defending Sinner a bit, saying it was so minuscule, shut up, you know, he beat you, it is what it is. But, like, even Maria Sharapova and stuff in the old days, she got suspended 2 years. Like, there's a zero tolerance in tennis with this stuff. It does seem like he did get some sort of a bit of special treatment, pardon the pun, literally, but...
Yeah, special treatment.
You know, like I said, some people thought that he should be suspended.
Well, you just said it. Shapo's one of the craziest guys. Gabe, he was in the finals of a match, and he told the guy to F off, and then he told the umpire to F off, and he got DQ'd. Like, you could have won the match. Like, he's willing to be that insane to get kicked off a court in a finals of a tournament. He's always yelling at people.
He'll never win like that.
No, he's got – the thing is, you could be emotional, but his emotions kill him, and Kyrgios is a psycho. You're right. Different strokes for different folks. It's like in golf when guys move boulders for Tiger Woods.
Shapo is funny, though.
Yeah, Shapo is funny. But he's nuts.
Last year, I'll never forget, he was in Italy, and he beat an Italian, and he was bitching about it after, like, Shapo was doing an interview, and it wasn't going well. He just looked to the entire stadium in Italy, and he said, would you shut the F up? Like, he yelled at them, would you shut? And I was like, dude, you're going to get clipped, man, by some mobster. Like, you can't go into Italy here and start telling them to shut the F. Like, he's nuts. Like you said, like, he tells the judges, like, yeah. I don't know, he thinks he's on a hockey rink, this guy. I don't know if he grew up playing hockey. I know he didn't, actually. He's actually I think he's more one of the country club kids that's got, like, temper. He's like Dennis the Menace. He's got temper tantrums.
You're like, absolutely right. Kind of looks down. Like Dennis.
Like,
yeah, he's like a...
Yeah, he does. That's why I say. He's like the Dennis the Menace of tennis.
He's
like,
a Canadian,
bro,
he's
down.
A Canadian
calm down.
Slash European Dennis the Menace with a bad mouth.
Because he's a pretty good player. Like, when he's on his game, he can play with almost anybody. He's not quite the top. You look at the difference. Put it this way. Look at Felix Auger-Aliassime. He's much calmer. He doesn't snap. He's very composed. And he's much closer to winning a major than Shapo is. Right? I'm telling you, he's the one guy. I'll hang my hat on him. But we were talking about Pegula. It's freaking hard, bro, to win, man. You got a lot of these players are tough, man. Once you get to the top, like, three or four, you can get to, like, the, you know what I mean? You get to the quarterfinals, but once you get to the semifinals, it's, like, the same people there all the time. And it's not easy. Like, Pegula said it after the match tonight. She said, I've lost in the quarterfinals a million times. But she said, you know, a lot of times I lost to the person who won the tournament. Mm-hmm. Right? So you've just got to find a way to break through. And if you're Felix Auger-Aliassime, he needs a good draw in one of these big events. He's got a ton of confidence now. Like, he's right there. He needs a really good draw. And he needs, like, Alcaraz to get hurt or, like, get, you know what I mean? He needs, like, a break him. You know what I mean? Like, you know, Novak's not going to be around forever. He needs, like, to get a good matchup. Somebody got upset. Somebody didn't enter. Somebody twisted their ankle. And everything falls into place. And I think this kid can nail down a major in his career.
I agree with you 100%. And think about how things are working up for Sinner in this tournament, right? You got Alcaraz out. You got Djokovic out. You're a three seed now. Just sitting
there.
That's
what I'm saying. Yeah.
That's the way it works. That's the way the cookie crumbles.
It's wide open.
Yes, it is. And looks like Sinner is playing really, really well right now.
You should just do what Sinner did and take some of those steroids and just say, hey, my massage therapist gave it to me.
Yeah, give us the Canadian cream. Like, oh, extra strength. Let's go. Put it on, Felix.
All right, so speaking of Italy, Sinner's Italian. Yeah, a redheaded Italian. Not a lot of them can. Yeah. You must be a fan of him.
Actually, I talked to some people about it. The Italian, they're in the north because it's closer to Germany. That's where the ginger Italians are, way up there, Gabe. That's the thing. They're not in the south. That's where the redheads, they throw them up north because it's...
He doesn't look Italian. Like, if you look at him, you wouldn't think he was Italian.
No. Yeah. They told me there's gingers up north there because it's close to Germany and the other areas there. But Sinner's a great player. He's amazing.
Well, I need Medvedev to win this set, point blank. I mean, this is ridiculous. It's 6-2, 6-1, 6-1. Like, it's just never seen anything like this before. They've played 1 hour. Like I said, it's kind of anticlimactic, but hey. All right, so Baban will be joining us in a couple of minutes. Let's get back to the football. We got college football to get to as well. But just for the record, Taylor Fritz, a minus 250 favorite against TFO and... plus 200. I saw Taylor Fritz live at the Laver Cup. The dude, like you said, he's starting to figure it out too. He used to just have that booming serve, but he started to figure out the nuances of the game a little bit. And an American man, a male is due to win, man. I don't think it's happened since Andre Agassi. But back to the National Football League. Total tomorrow sits at 47. The 46 and a halves are gone. Generally, guys, I think the sharps, the sharps, pros, let's call them people that bet bigger dollars, not so much sharps, but let's, you know, pros. Yep. They generally going to bet the unders, right? The public is going to win, right? The public like to cheer for the over. So, you know, the numbers are always going to go up. I talked about it last week. Yeah, it doesn't mean the bet's going to win, but look at last week, a good example. The USC game went all the way down to 63.5 at one point, the total. And that was like pro bettors camp betting it, saying, you know what? It's too many points for a week one game, right? This you know what I mean, this big number, and they bet it down from the 66.5 that it was. By kickoff, it was bet back up to 66.5.
Because
everybody on Sunday was like, yeah, I'm betting the over. So tomorrow, Cam, it'll be the same thing. Like, I think if you like the over this game, it wouldn't surprise me if you get the dreaded 47.5 or 48 for this game, because I think the public will start bet the over of Thursday Night Football tomorrow.
The thing is, though, I the only reason I took the under in that USC game, Gabe, you told me about, you talk about clean rides. That total was so, like, it was so big, and it's different players on the team, too, right? Like, you saw them. It started to open up at the first quarter.
You know what it was?
It was so slow.
It was a lot like that Orange Bowl we were at. I could tell right away early. LSU started off the football game with a 6.5, 7-minute drive. They went all the way down the field. They threw it in for a touchdown, but it was out of bounds.
Yeah.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
control. This is Sports Rage. I'm Renzi. Babano's going to step up and in a couple of moments. So the Chiefs are laying 3 in this game. I brought it up earlier. Lamar Jackson's 13-1-1 against the spread as an underdog in a regular season in his career. He's been straight money as a dog. And the Kansas City Chiefs, despite all their success, they haven't been a great team to bet on ATS-wise. That's why this number is what it is with, you're laying 3 here. One thing, too, I've talked about this a lot over the years. It's shifted. In the old days, and I'll say old days, I'll use the 80s as an example. For the most part in the 80s, the Super Bowl winner, they didn't have the Thursday night game in those days. So the Super Bowl winner would often be on like Monday Night Football or something. And they'd be a play against. They'd be overly priced and it wouldn't cover. Yet when they came up with that Thursday night stuff, man, it was like 19-2 or something like that. Where the home team on Thursday night, the Super Bowl winner, would win the game. They generally covered a point spread. Yet now you look, these numbers are so low right now. And last year, the Detroit Lions were underdogs going into Kansas City to start the season. And they won the football game outright. I remember 3 years ago, the Rams won this. When the Rams won the Super Bowl, they opened up the season against the Buffalo Bills. In Los Angeles, and I was at the football game, and the Buffalo Bills won the football game outright. So the defending Super Bowl champion thing hasn't been straight money, right? Like, oh, the home team's going to win for sure. It was for a long time. It isn't right now. But one thing that Brady Cannon said that I completely agree with him earlier is the Kansas City Chiefs are actually better this year. You can tell. They're like, they have a better roster this year, just point blank. They got it done. They've gotten it done with limited talent. You've got to give Andy Reid credit, man. They lose people. They lose Tyreek Hill. It doesn't matter. They lose Eric Bieniemy. It doesn't matter. Right? You know, wide receivers are coming in and out. It doesn't matter. Mahomes makes it work with anybody. Now, suddenly he's got a complement of weapons to work with. And something we didn't bring up earlier, Marlon Humphrey of the Baltimore Ravens. All right, so I don't know what Marlon Humphrey's deal is. I think he'll probably be a crazy politician in a couple of years, but it seems like he's already started. He's got a podcast. You know, he's like that. It's like the annoying basketball player there, Patrick Beverly. Oh, yeah. So, yeah, Humphrey's turning into the Patrick Beverly of the NBA. Like, so he's got a podcast, and he just says stupid things to try to get people like really like. You know, he called out Simone Biles at a U.S. gym team for congratulating the Brazilian. Like, he's got, like, weird takes, this guy. So he went off on a rampage about, on his show, about how Travis Kelce's trying to steal his livelihood and come, like, that he's coming to take over the podcast business. And he's, you know, he's trying to destroy his life and all this. And he's talking about, because the Kelce brothers got a $100 million deal to do their show, which is an incredible amount of money. And Humphrey said the only reason they got it was because of Taylor Swift, and she's the one that, like, and I don't know, he's like, no, there's no other player in the National Football League that's getting personal with Kelce about podcasts. Like, I don't know what Humphrey thinks, that, like, he owns the podcast market. He's the only one that's allowed to do a podcast, I guess, in his mind. But he's not that good anymore, Humphrey. So he's talking a lot of smack, and where I'm going with this is Patrick Mahomes is like Michael Jordan. He hears everything, man. Like, he, every slight, everything he knows about, and Humphrey's talking a lot of smack about shutting Kelce down tomorrow, and I think you got to be careful what you wish for. Say what you will about Kelce. He makes plays, and Mahomes will want to get him the ball. So it sounds very, very, you know, squarish to say that Travis Kelce's probably going to score a touchdown tomorrow, but I wouldn't bet against it. I think Travis Kelce's going to score a touchdown tomorrow. Like, they're going to go after Humphrey tomorrow. Mahomes likes to go after people that talk smack, right? So,
yep.
And Humphrey, if I was Harbaugh, I would tell Humphrey to shut up, because exactly.
I agree.
I'd tell him, listen, if you were 24 and you're fast enough to keep up with these people, fine. Talk all you want, but you're not. And he got burnt last year a lot. So, you know, it's not, it's one thing I'd be concerned about, actually, and I do like Baltimore in this game, but if you look at the Chiefs and the weapons that they have, and another thing is, too, why isn't Rashee Rice getting suspended? What's up with that?
I don't know. You're right.
This guy, Rashee Rice, caused like an 8-car collision, put a bunch of people in the hospital on a Dallas freeway, and then left the scene. And whatever. People act like it never happened. Some other guys, it's like, oh, well, you know, he got into an altercation outside a club. He's getting suspended for 3, you know. So whatever. But the Kansas City Chiefs are basically, they're a menace to society. They're a danger to everybody. But he's a great wide receiver. And you throw in Xavier Worthy right now into the mix, into this speed, like the amount of speed that they have with Mahomes to work with. Very, very scary. The Baltimore Ravens are going to have their hands full, but I think Derrick Henry has a big game tomorrow, and there should be a fun game. I think they'll come out and put points up on the board in week one here. I think both offenses will just sort of be aggressive. You know, they played in a playoff game. You're playing in a conference championship game. It's a different mindset than in week one. And quite frankly, I just think the I think the Chiefs' offense is going to score. So, you know, Baltimore better if we're on the Baltimore Ravens tomorrow. I'll tell you that because I expect Kansas City to put some points up. I think it's a 27-24 football game, but Baltimore win.
I like that. I like that score. I'm with you. I usually sometimes I take unders. I like the over. Let's remember in that AFC Championship game how many points are left on the board. You mentioned it earlier in the show about Zay Flowers, drops, mistakes, turnovers. The Baltimore Ravens couldn't have played any worse, and just the way they shot themselves in the foot. Gabe, we had our guest on the other day, and I kind of agree with his first half over as well. So, yeah, I'm with you. I like the dog and the over. I'm taking Baltimore and the over. I'm going to tease it to the over as well. I like that teaser a lot.
We should know week one unders have been straight cash. That's why, for the most part, as I stated, the pros have already attacked the unders. Now the public and everyone's going to come in on the overs in these games. If you like the overs, it was better to attack them early. Look at Green Bay and Philly, same thing.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Let's roll. This is Sports Rage. I am Morency. The Pits, the Players, the Hustlers, the people who bust them, and everybody else in between. We're into the fourth set right now. Medvedev is up 3-2. He's down 2-1. So Medvedev needs to win this set to get this thing to a fifth set. If it gets to 5 sets, we'll probably win our bet. I say probably, but man, they only got to 22 after 3 sets. It is 3-2 right now, so it looks like we have a little bit more of a battle. But just point blank, whatever. I need Medvedev to win this set. Either way, I'm going to lose. The total bet. Let's get people caught up to date with what's going on right now. In-game Major League Baseball before football takes center stage tomorrow night. The Angels are rattling the Dodgers' cage right now. They're up 7-1 in the top of the seventh inning. The Dodgers are getting 5.5 runs. Seattle are beating up on Oakland tonight, 6-2. So Oakland, one of the hottest teams in baseball, but Seattle are up 6-2 in this game, top of the seventh inning. San Diego and Detroit are tied at 5 right now in the bottom of the fifth inning. The in-game total is 13.5. A lot of baseball left in that game. 13.5 feels a little bit light, actually, to me, considering they're already at 10. You got a runner on first base right now in the bottom of the fifth inning. So for in-game bettors, I think over 13.5 could be worth a look there. And it's a 3-0 for the Arizona Diamondbacks right now in the bottom of the sixth inning. And Brady Cannon was with us earlier, alluded to the Giants being a fade right now down the stretch. I don't disagree with that. You've got to sort of see what's the crowd like, what's the atmosphere of the team like, and San Francisco are one of those teams ready to pack it up and pack it in, but the San Francisco 49ers are just ready to get started. There's big numbers out there, and I don't know who you're taking, Cam, but there's big numbers out there about underdogs in week one, specifically Monday Night Football underdogs in week one. Favorites have been absolutely murdered in week one of Monday Night Football. It's just like historically, it's been a money burner. We'll get you the exact number here. And you get the San Francisco 49ers hosting the New York Jets in this game. And if there's one team that's had like a very strange training camp and preseason, it has been the San Francisco 49ers. So you had the Ayuk situation. It just went on and on and on all summer, whether he was staying, whether he was gone. It was like a Clash song. So whether he was staying or he's gone, he doesn't play. You know, he's not in the rhythm. Trent Williams just signs right now. Ricky Pearsall gets freaking shot a couple of days ago. Yeah, it's just sort of one thing after another. And you get the New York Jets rolling in here. I don't buy into the Jets. I don't trust Aaron Rodgers personally. I think Aaron Rodgers' best football is behind him, number one. And number two, I don't think Aaron Rodgers will be able to get through the season without getting hurt. So I've got nothing personally against the Jets, but for Jet fans, like, aren't you guys like cursed enough over the years to know that this isn't going to end well? But it doesn't mean that I don't think they can cover against San Francisco in week one. Who are you taking in this game?
Well, we're reading each other's mail. I'm on the New York Football Jets. If you're going to get the Jets early, I'm with you with Rodgers again, Gabe. If he stays healthy, I think they're a lethal team. Defense travels, and they have one of the best defenses in the league. Don't really like their coaching staff, but Garrett Wilson, like they have weapons galore. It's about keeping AR upright. Also, Gabe, you know he went to Cal. A lot of happy times there in the state of California for Aaron Rodgers. If he can get through this one, and I think 4.5 is too many points. I'm going to be taking the points with the Jets. But Aaron Rodgers has to stay healthy. It's asking a lot, Morenci. They have to protect him. But the Jets do have weapons and defense travels. But I like them in this spot against San Francisco.
Dennis Allen might be the worst coach in the National Football League. Mm-hmm. Robert Saleh is not far behind.
No, he's up there.
He's not a good coach. And Nate Hackett is a hack. So I have zero confidence in the New York Jet coaching staff and whatever. All right, their defense is good. Good for them. So is San Francisco's, right? I don't trust the Jets personally. I'm not saying that I like them. I'm just giving people the numbers. Doesn't mean that I like them. But historically, over the years, underdogs on Monday Night Football in week one are 41-19 against the spread.
It's pretty damn good. I like that.
So that's a 68% a 68% clip right there for home for underdogs in week one. But like I said, I don't personally buy into the New York Jets. I think, you know, it's a close. The number, it's a sharp number. I think San Francisco will win the game by 3 points or something. But I'm not saying this because I want it to happen, but I wouldn't be surprised if Rodgers got hurt again in the first game.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
All right, we're tied at 3 right now in the 4th set. So Sinner is up 15, Love. Medvedev is, Love 15. Yeah, Love 15. Medvedev is serving. He needs this. He needs to win the set. And he was up earlier. It's starting to slip away a little bit here. He's got to step up and get back on track. Maybe we'll get some drama in the late night hours here at Flushing Meadows. U.S. Open always... always kicks ass. Ian Cameron ready to step up and in here. 30, man, third, man. Medvedev,
No. If he gets broken here, we're screwed. Like, he has to come back and win this. Yeah, come on now. Because this is a real problem. He better win this next point or we're toast. We are going to be toasted. This is a nightmare on all fronts.
Very critical. Neither player is taking any chances right now. Now they're both just knocking it back and forth.
Yeah, nice soft rally. Wait for the other guy to screw up. Yep.
Somebody's got to take a chance. If you're Medvedev, you got to take a chance soon here. He's setting you up. There it is. Boom. Love 40. What a choker Medvedev is. Medvedev's a big choker. So is Zverev, too. He's Zverev. That other guy is, too. All these modern players are the same. Yeah, he's another hothead, but he's a choker. No,
he is amazing. Like him, Chapo, and Kyrgios, that's the hothead podium right there. That guy's
they're all
nuts.
Hotheads. That's their problem.
Yeah.
Spoiled.
Crazy.
They're all spoiled. All right, Babano's ready to step up and in, I believe. Ian Cameron in the house. What's going on, Babano?
Yeah. Hey, God. News to me, you're only on till midnight, but here I am, finally. What's up?
News to me. New format, Babano. This is it.
Well, yeah, we should have got a special report. Yeah, you get to bed earlier, Babano, right now.
Yeah,
or whatever apparently. It is you do in the late night hours. None of us really are sure. So
I think it includes drinking beer and going over numbers. Yeah. That's what I'm predicting. A couple cold ones, some suds, and some spreads. That's Babano's late night action behind the screen.
Burn my skin with no sunscreen for my tie cap.
What the hell's going on, Babano? You got beat up in
the tie
cap?
Yeah, I was going to say, Babano. Your forehead, you got some weird stuff going on in your forehead.
Yeah, what's going on there? Somebody hit you with a brick? Like, I'm red all the time.
Doesn't look like sun, like Babano. No, what the hell is that?
Sun did a number on me at the game on Monday.
Yeah, that looks doesn't look like sun. That looks like somebody hit you with a stick. Something's going on there. Yeah, we'll get to the bottom of this game.
So that's what happens if you sit in a sun, Babano? Like, yeah, it looks like you got a rash on your forehead.
Yeah, it's because I had not a lick of sunscreen on Monday, and it came back to
pretty stupid. Yeah, you're still white, Babano. Like, at least to me, I don't go to the house without anything under 40. Like, use your head, preferably graphite too.
Can't use your head when you're in a hurry. That's the problem. Yeah.
Yeah.
Probably should have thought about putting a hat on tonight or something.
Yeah, a hat would be a good call.
You don't have a baseball cap?
Backwards hat. I should.
Cover that up.
There you go.
Yeah, we're good. All right. So we'll see if Medvedev's fighting back here. Now it's 30-40.
Right.
So he needs this point. He needs this point in a big-time way. All right. So we've been talking a lot of NFL football tonight, but college football, we got a couple of games. Tomorrow, but Babano, everybody's focused on the NFL so much, and I get it, you know, and a lot of excitement, but we do have some college football on tap, including BYU and SMU. And this SMU team, we saw them in week one against Nevada, underachieve. They're almost like NC State SMU. Like, people every year will talk, oh, this team's going to be good. They said, no, they're not. Like, you could hype them up all you want. You could talk about the money that they have or this or that. And, of course, Medvedev just knocked it out of bounds. Sinner wins the set 4-3. Or the game 4-3 is up in the set.
Now up a break.
But, he's in a lot of trouble. BYU, though, are getting 11.5 in this game. The total is 56. Tomorrow, we got Duke and Northwestern, a battle of smart schools tomorrow. Yeah. Duke are at Northwestern at that stadium on the lake, which looks pretty badass. Yep. Yeah, it's pretty cool. I'm going to give them that. It'll suck when it's cold. At this time of year, it'll be cool.
Oh, you're right. And winter, that's going to be, frigid. That's right by the water.
They don't have too many, but I was thinking it's not a good idea. Like, it's going to be seriously cold, but it's a hot ticket because it's so small. They're charging a lot of money to get in and all that. But Duke and Northwestern tomorrow, BYU, SMU, everyone's going to be focused on the NFL. But I personally don't trust laying 11.5 with SMU. Like, you know what I mean? I don't care who they beat last week. HBCU, whoever the hell they played. Phoenix Online, DeVry, whatever. Now they're playing against BYU. Too many points, in my opinion. I don't trust them. I'm not saying I love BYU, but I think SMU were kind of paper team to battle. I don't think they're that good.
I agree with you.
Yeah, they're going to have to show it to me. I agree with you guys before I'm ready to trust them. I like the over more in that game rather than a side. I think I like what I saw from Jake Retzlaff, the new quarterback for BYU. He's got a great receiver in Chase Roberts. Actually, they got a couple of good targets down the field. I know it was Southern Illinois at home, but I like the way the offense looked. The O-line looked solid. I think when you look at SMU, too, I think this offense will be able to move the ball against BYU. The defense for BYU kind of took a step back last year, and I don't know how much you can gauge in giving up, you know, less than 20 points to Southern Illinois facing this SMU offense, which has Maryland, the great tight end, great receivers. I know Preston Stone's kind of been inconsistent so far, but you've got to think he's going to get it going. I think Rhett Lashley's going to use both as quarterbacks. He'll use Jennings as well in this game. Either way, I think both guys can move the football against BYU. So I like the over in that game more than a side. And for Duke Northwestern, look, there's going to be wind, chance of showers by the lake. as well. I like the under. I don't trust either offense in that game. It's a low total, but it's low for a reason. I think if there's wind, which is going to make it tougher to throw the ball, it's worse for Northwestern, or sorry, for Duke, because I think Duke has trouble running the ball. Malik Murphy's a solid quarterback. I think Northwestern's more reliant on running the football. So if there is wind, it's probably a little advantage for Northwestern. So I lean to the Wildcats. And the Wildcats have covered 8 straight games, guys, going back to last year. 8 straight point spread covers for Northwestern. They've been undervalued for a very long time.
I like Northwestern to win the game, too. We've seen it in the CFL. Teams got a bump when you move into these smaller stadiums. Look at the BC Lions. Yeah, good example. Listen, BC lost like 5 in a row. They go, they play in a little 14,000 seat stadium. Yeah. You know, it gets that crazy sort of vibe going as opposed, you know what I mean? It's sort of, I saw the same thing with the Montreal Alouettes, and they used to play in the Olympic Stadium, and it was flat. They moved into the playoff for the playoff game, and they never turned back. They played, they kept playing at the outdoor stadium, but there'll be more enthusiasm. Right now, it's sort of like going to a concert, right? If you have like 15,000 people in a 50,000 seat stadium, the vibe does is no good. You cram 10,000 people into a, in a 10,000 people arena, and it's like, oh, these guys are hot. Look at all the tickets they sold. It changes the mentality. But guys, 30 freaking 7 points. That's crazy. College football. The average college football game gets to 56, Babano. That's like the average, 55.8 or something. It's like, man, 37. But Gabe,
Duke's offensively challenged, too. Like, we could have, like, a 14-6 type of game here.
I think so,
here.
And like, there's wind. I don't like that there's wind. That's the problem. I don't like that there's wind for that.
That total's low, but it's low for a reason, for a good reason.
Yeah, bad weather also can lead to turnovers, right? Short fields.
It can.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's what you're going to have to hope for, maybe. Yep.
We see this time and time again. Look, they put up 26 points against Elon.
And they struggled to take for 2.5 quarters. They only got going late in the fourth with that offense.
And it is true. Northwestern put up a whopping 13 against Miami, Ohio.
Yep. So this is gross. First team to 10.
Have 9. Fun, Tim Brando, with this Friday night special.
Yeah, it's you know what, I'll be watching the Chiefs Raiders instead of this one.
That's
crazy. This is Friday night, guys. This game. That's right. Both games are Friday night.
So Friday night.
Packers Eagles.
Eagles Packers. Yeah, sorry.
Yep.
Eagles Packers on Friday night. All right, more on the other side.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
This is Sports Rage. I am Renzi. We're done. Medvedev is going down.
We're done. You're hacking away. We're just like, we're watching our money fly away.
I'm choking like he is. I'm like, there he goes. 5-3. Had the opportunity. He got broken. We were talking about it. It was 3-2. He could have gone up 4-2. Just a complete meltdown. You see this time and time again with the same players over and over. They just hit the wall. There's another unforced error into the net. And in fact, it's a match point coming up right now. Medvedev's about to get broken twice in this set. That's pathetic. So come on, bro. Like, at least hold your damn serve, man. You're getting broke twice in a game match point set. Like, what kind of fight is this?
For people who haven't watched, too, he had him on the ropes twice early, 40-15 for the break, and Sinner grinded back and won. But when he's up that way, Choke. That's the difference. Sinner can get through, make it 40-30 deuce, and then he finds a way to get it done. This guy's up. He could have broken him twice early, cost him the match.
Yeah, I thought that Swiatek nearly came back on Pegula, too. Pegula was up 40-love, and she made it 40-30. I was like, oh, boy. It would have went to like 5-4, 5-5 after. It would have been a big dramatic swing. Medvedev got the advantage here.
Momentum can swing in a tennis match. Like, it can happen just like that.
If he wins this one, and can we get a miracle break?
He's got to break him after that.
Yeah, I know he does. He's got to win this and break him.
He just won. Okay, he just won, so it's 5-4. He's got to break him.
He took down a break, so he's got to break Yannick's serve here.
It's like Homer Simpson's pig, Gabe. It's flying away. It's still good. It's still good.
It's still good. It is. It is. We got to hope that Sinner chokes now, and he gets nervous and puts it into the net a bunch of times. Double fault. Let's go.
Manage Medvedev.
Can you give him some of that extra hot cream, Gabe? Like the bomb that's really hot and like give him some blisters? Put him on it. Tell him to rub it on
his feet. If I was a player, if I saw anybody rubbing anything on Sinner, I'd be like, hey, check that stuff out. Yeah, huh? Like, exactly, what's he up to? If you see him over like on the side rubbing some stuff in his arms, he'd be like, hey, it's a super cream.
Yeah, it's like super cream.
You got that Italian, cream on you, Yannick.
Amazing. But Babano did some cream.
I need some of that right now,
yeah. You sure did for your forehead.
Yeah. You should have taken some of the gel from your hair and rubbed it on.
Protection.
Hey, if there were any more of these restaurants in Canada, you could get me on the commercial. Red Lobster.
Yeah. Or how cheap are you? Why didn't you just buy a damn hat at the game, Babano?
Yeah. By the way, you know who the corporate spokesperson for Red Lobster is? It's Flavor Flav. It ain't you, Babano. That guy's bringing Red Lobster back hard.
Yeah.
Good for him. He's got a big resurgence going on. He's taking over right now.
Lobster. He goes, you told me Red Lobster had no game. They're back in the game. Flavor Flav here. You like garlic shrimp? It was awesome. I'm like, yes, you sold me, Flavor Flav. I'm going back. Guy's a wicked spokesperson. He's wicked.
All right, so Georgia Tech and Syracuse.
Ooh.
I tell you what, this game's got trap written all over it for Georgia Tech going into Syracuse. Now, listen, Syracuse last week, they were a trendy pick, and they barely didn't cover, right? They ended up laying, 17.5? They won by 16. It sucked, too. I laid 10 in the first half with them, and I was watching it at Circa, and they won the first half by 9. It was one of those Saturday mornings. It's like, son of a, right? But it is what it is. But Georgia Tech are going to be a trendy team coming in here with the record that they have, with the win against Florida State. Yet we're seeing a win against Florida State isn't quite as, like, oh, wow. Boston College just beat Florida State right now. Not take anything away from Georgia Tech, but what's your opinion, Babano, in the dome right now with Kyle McCord and the excitement of the Syracuse program? It's a big-time early season football game here for both teams, especially big for Georgia Tech. This is a tough win to get. They get this thing. You really got to tip your cap to them and go, whoa. These guys are really on a roll right now. Who do you like in the game of battle, the Yellow Jackets or the Orangemen?
I definitely like the total more than the side. I'm on this over push. There's lots of steam to the over. I agree with it. Syracuse, you could see it last week. Their
61.
Offense looked really good.
Oh, my
it's high.
God.
It is high now, but Syracuse played with some tempo. McCord and the offense look good. They move the football, albeit against Ohio, a weaker team. What concerned me is Syracuse's defense. The Ohio running back, Tyus, had 200 rushing yards. Well, Georgia Tech's a run-first offense. They got Haynes, the great running back. Haynes King can definitely run with the football as well from the quarterback spot. I'm worried about that. And Georgia Tech's got one of the best offensive lines in the ACC. We've seen it already in the first two games. So I'm not sure that Syracuse defense holds up against Georgia Tech, but I think Syracuse will move the football with McCord against Georgia Tech a little bit, especially when, although I'm in the camp that believes Georgia Tech's defense is better this year, they face Georgia State and they face a Florida State team that we now know is offensively challenged after the way they played against Boston College on Monday night. Yeah. So how
wish
much
we,
better
I wish
is
we
Georgia
smashed Florida
defense.
State's win total to
yeah.
the under.
Yeah.
What a train wreck,
how much better
man.
Is Georgia Tech's defense now after what we've seen from Florida State? We thought that was such a great performance against Florida State, and look what they did against Boston College. So
hey,
I think Syracuse in the dome can move the ball. I like the over.
DJ out of that game. You got to take him out of that game. He's just like, it's just not working, man. Like you need a plan B here. Like they're toast.
Yeah, you know what, though? They're getting pushed around in the trenches. I can't defend EJU. I have over the years, and it is what it is. The results are what they are. But they're not just losing because of quarterback play. Like Babano said about Georgia Tech. Remember, Babano, the big thing with Georgia Tech is, they can run the ball, but they can't stop the run. Everyone thought Florida State were going to be able to run on them. They couldn't run on them. Georgia Tech, won the line of scrimmage. Georgia Tech ran on them, and it was the same thing again. Like, Florida State can't win the line of scrimmage. So it doesn't really matter who the quarterback is. They're getting blown up. They can't stop the run. And, their offense is a train wreck to top it off. There's three, to me, there's sort of the three highlight games of the week Obviously, Michigan and Texas, so the point spread 7.5 right now. A game that's kind of flying under the radar a little bit in the late night hours, Boise State and the Ducks. Boise State are getting 20 points at Eugene, man. The total over is 61. I'd rather lay the over in this one than Syracuse and Georgia Tech, personally, at 61. We just saw Boise State can't stop anything. We know they're going to be able to score. We know the Ducks are going to score. I think the total gets there. I personally think the point spread is too high. And let's not forget about that Nebraska-Colorado game this week. The Huskers, 7-point favorites right now over the Buffaloes.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
This is Sports Rage. We're in the home stretch. We're going to be on tomorrow night at 8 o'clock Eastern right here on SiriusXM Channel 159 and the return of the Sports Grid YouTube in-game live chat as well tomorrow night. So we'll post some links for that. Cam will be in the house. We'll have a halftime show and we'll break it down in-game. And we have a game on Friday night. Normally, Sports Rage will be on Fridays, but we've got a rare NFL football game on Friday, along with a couple of college games. So, with the Philadelphia Eagles and the Green Bay Packers, for the record, I like the Green Bay Packers in that game. We talked a lot about the Ravens tomorrow. I like the Ravens plus 3, but I do like the Packers to beat the Eagles. I talked about it before. You're moving on without Jason Kelce, who is the heart and soul of your team. You have your third different offensive coordinator in 3 years. You have a new defensive coordinator. And, oh, yeah, your starters didn't play at all in the preseason. So you're just throwing Jalen Hurts out here and hoping for the best. Meanwhile, the Packers ended strong. The Eagles' secondary is bad, all right? They're ranked like 29th in the league against the pass. So they drafted some kids. Okay, these rookies going to come in and change everything in week one in Brazil. I also brought it up before about which team will handle the trip better. I don't hear the Packer players crying about Brazil. I hear the Eagle players crying about it. I don't hear the Packer players crying. So, all you know, to me, like I said, the Kelce factor, and I don't think the Eagles are ready. And I don't think the Eagles are great. I just think they're better than the Cowboys are, and that division sucks. But we'll get some college picks in a second. But let me just throw in a couple of quick best bets for tomorrow. Baltimore Ravens plus 3. Let's go over the 46.5, which is already up to 47 right now. I'm not overthinking this. Derrick Henry averages 119 yards a game against the Kansas City Chiefs, more yards than he does against anybody. It's his first game. You know they're going to want to welcome him to the party, get him a touchdown, get him the football. And if they're smart, they'll keep freaking Patrick Mahomes on the sidelines. So I'm all in on Derrick Henry tomorrow. Derrick Henry touchdown. Derrick Henry over 62.5 rush yards, up to 64.5 right now. And here's a little under the radar pick for you. Justin Watson, Kansas City Chief. Listen, the Ravens are going to have to be worried about Rashee Rice. All right. This kid's like a monster to deal with on the freeway and on a football field. They're going to have to worry about Xavier Worthy. They're going to have to worry about Pacheco. They're going to have to worry about Travis Kelce. Watson's just going to be open, like over the middle of the field a couple of times. He's gone over this number. He went over, I think, in like 6 of their last 9 games. Like, it's just a catch or two. 13.5 yards for Watson. Let's go over the number. 13.5. We'll have some more picks tomorrow. But, Bano, what's your pick for tomorrow night's football game and Friday's game? Quickly here.
Going with the champs at home. I can't trust Baltimore. I saw the AFC Championship game. I see the O-line issues. I see Mike McDonald gone as the defensive coordinator, and I don't know if that defense is going to be as good without him.
His new coordinator.
There's a lot of concerns here with Baltimore here going into this game. So I wouldn't lay more than 3, but you're going to give me 3 or better with Kansas City. I'm in with the Chiefs. I like Patrick Mahomes over rushing yards, my favorite prop, over 20.5. He's gone over his rushing yards prop in 6 straight primetime games. This is where he shows up, and he's more willing.
He's going to have to run for his life a couple of times, right? Yep. He's a better runner than people give him credit for. All right, what about Michigan and Texas and Oklahoma, Nebraska? To me, it's too many points. I'm a Michigan fan, but I'm realistic with the program. It'll be a close game. I'm not guaranteeing Michigan to win the game outright, but it'll be a battle. I think the total is too light. I know it's a defensive battle, but to me, they're going to get into the both teams. I think you're going to need like 24, 27 points to win this game. Right? I don't know what number Michigan has circled. It's going to be freaking hard to hold Texas to 20 points, 21 points, or something like that. But 43 seems a little light, but I do like Michigan plus 7.5. I think it comes down to a field goal, guys. I really do. I think it's going to be a dramatic, super sort of early season classic that, oh my God, it's a one-point game with 2 minutes left, right? Toss-up game to me. Go blue. Plus the points, Babana. Who you got?
Yeah, it's just too much now to lay with Texas. I think Texas, if you got in early, I think they're the better team. They'll win, but my goodness, you're still playing in Ann Arbor, Michigan, you know, and for a big national TV game. And Michigan's defense is still solid, really good. So it's good enough maybe. And Quinn Ewers still has got to show on the road, pretty good defense. Can they move the ball? And then Colorado, Nebraska, I like the over. I think Raiola and Shedeur Sanders both put on a show. Lean Nebraska.
Hard not to bet the over of any Colorado game. Cam, what's your pick for the Ravens game tomorrow?
Ravens plus 3. Derrick Henry first touchdown at 5-1. I like the over in the first half and the over in the game. And I'm going to tease it too. Let's run. Go Ravens.
Other than that, you're on your own. Later.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.